Get out the insurance cards, get out the copays. The office is open, my friends, as this video is brought to you by DrRoto.com.
Good morning, my friends, and an early one it is today. Adam, thanks for making me get out of bed early. But anything for you, sir. Welcome to In the Cup, brought to you by DrRoto.com. I'm Johnny Danger. With me is Mr. Adam White. Hey, man, the Masters lineup didn't work out for me. I think I had one of the worst in history, all six players making the cut and scoring so poorly.
Yeah, it's actually sort of impressive how bad it was, given that you got everyone through the cut. I'm still a little salty about Sergio's absolute implosion down the stretch to miss the cut by a shot. But it was a great event from a fan perspective. I loved watching Scotty just kind of pull away from the rest of the guys. When you're looking at it as he's in nine fairway and Oberg makes that putt to get to seven and tie it up, and then all of a sudden Scotty's like, yeah, that was cute, but watch this. Birdie, birdie, birdie. And you're like, oh, that went from really exciting to kind of inevitable in like a 2-3 hole stretch. And it's still, for me, it was a lot of fun to watch because it's always fun to witness greatness, which we are doing currently. But, you know, from a fantasy perspective, it was a different week. I told you to get off a couple guys that played well. Credit to Bryson and Fleetwood and your model, by the way. It did have Bryson as a great leverage score, who had a great first round and then sort of just stuck around from there, slowly worked his way down the leaderboard instead of up. He was like the opposite.
Cantlay scored some points. You poo-pooed my Cantlay as well.
Cantlay scored some points. He wouldn't end up being a key player to have in your lineups necessarily.
No.
But I'm like really impressed with.
I just like when you poo-poo my model and then it plays. I like it. Though I think you beat me in the scores this week, and I finished 15th out of 19th in our private league with all six players through. I don't know how I did that. That's really impressive. I feel like I should get a trophy for that.
Like we talked about last week, more players. It was 50 in ties out of 89 players. So it's a higher percentage of players making the cut than a normal week. This week we'll get to, there is no cut. Not my favorite, but that's all good. But yeah, Masters showed me a lot. I think I learned a lot from it. Thankfully, my week was saved by Scotty win and Xander top 10 parlay. It's the only reason my week was saved financially. I won a little three-man contest with a couple of my buddies I do every week. That was about it on DraftKings. The funny thing was, the same lineup that I had in my double up was in the Millie Maker and finished way higher in the Millie Maker than it did in my double up. It was the ownership percentage is really interesting to look at, but it was everything you could have hoped the Masters tournament could be.
Love it.
And we had some good picks. We had some ugly picks. So
that's all right. We're going to keep going along. Before you tell me about the Heritage here, I was down there just a couple weeks ago watching them set up the grandstands. It was crazy windy during my week down there. Is it going to be weather affected this week?
It can get crazy windy almost at any time. It is an Oceanside course, as you know, since you were down there. You told me you were hanging out in that lighthouse, right, by the 18th?
I was, yes.
Yeah. That's probably a fun place to hang out if you're going to watch the event with some binoculars. This week it looks like the projections are around 10 to 12 mile an hour winds every day. So it's not going to blow a crazy amount, and that's usually what influences the score. Like, that's the greens are small, the fairways are tight. But if you got a guy who's hitting it straight and he's on with his approach game, you're going to see scores this week start to approach the 18 to 20 under range, in my opinion, for that leader or for the contenders come Sunday. Difficulty just based on the wind always ranges between, ranges between like the 20th most difficult and 30th on tour. So it's not going to be an overly difficult week. The nice thing about it is we've got a lot of guys who are sort of in play because the course is tight. It's not really rewarding as much for your longer players, your great drivers of the golf ball. So you're going to see some players that have a chance to contend this week, where normally they don't. Like, I don't know if you remember when Kisner famously said in an interview, they asked him, do you think you can win this week at Bethpage Black? And he was like, no. And they go, well, why are you here? He's like, because they pay a lot of money for 17th as well. Well, this is not a Bethpage Black. It's one of those events that a Kisner type player can contend at, which to me is fun. It couldn't be much different than Augusta National. It's about 7,200 yards, par 71. We got three par fives out there. A lot of very tight driving holes. It's a very scenic course. It's actually one of my favorite events. And the cool thing is it is an elevated event. So Matty Fitz won it last year outside of the U.S. Open, getting his next victory in the U.S. Your boy Cantlay does always play well here, so we'll get to him. But greens are extremely small. This does put an emphasis on both the approach game, if you want a guy who's going to make birdies, and then to avoid bogeys, you need some guys who are going to get up and down quite often from around the greens. So our main stat categories are good drive percentage, because that shows who's putting their drives in play from a scoreable position for their second shot. Bogey avoidance for sure. We definitely always want guys that make birdies, and approach game leads to that. Strokes gained putting is going to be pretty critical this week. You got to take advantage of those opportunities. So yeah, I think it's as much as it's hard to fight through the Masters hangover, it's an exciting event with some really good players that are in the field. So kind of a fun one to turn the page from the Masters and try and handicap and figure it all out.
Well, shall we get started then?
I think we shall.
All right, we get to see our very first player popped into the 13K range,
which
Mr. Scheffler.
Last week when I saw Scotty at 12-1, I definitely wrote that up in the article that he will soon be over $13,000. Mm-hmm. I thought by the PGA, and I said he'll probably still be a good play at the PGA, being even over $13,000, but he deserves to be $2,000 more expensive than anybody else, kind of like you detailed last week. When you are the most expensive player in the field by almost 1,000, but you're the most likely outside of anyone in the 7K range or below to 10X your salary,
right?
There's a reason why you are priced that high.
Yep. And so we're seeing that again, Adam. Not only is he the highest by over 2,000, he's like a top five to, 10X his salary. He's top five in the value per point per dollar range. And still at 36% ownership doesn't move his leverage score out of the top five either. Usually that high of a ownership pushes you way down the leverage score, but it doesn't. This is Christian McCaffrey territory where 50% of the people are going to play him and you have to anyways. Are we there? Are we there for this event? Do we have to start with Scotty?
Yeah, probably. Like it doesn't make any sense not to play him at this point as well as he's playing. I mean, he hasn't finished outside of the top two in his last four events, and he's won three of those. Last week, running away with it and being easily the highest drafting scorer. So, yeah, I can't tell you no. Personally, I'm fading him this week. He is a machine on the course, but he is also human. His wife's almost ready to birth. I almost said a really inappropriate thing.
And he claims that he would have walked away from the Masters if she went into labor.
That's it. So I'm banking on a little bit of a letdown. It's really, really difficult. Huh?
Maybe even a withdrawal.
Well, it could be a withdrawal. I'm not going to bank on that. I'm going to assume he's going to play all four rounds and just look at it like this. He's got that looming over him. He's been hyper-focused, preparing for the Masters. That's sort of what he's trying to peak for. And he did. He did his job, which is fantastic. It's really, really difficult, even though he seems like a machine as a human being, to get yourself up again for another big event, another elevated event. And will he probably contend in top 10? I think so. But I'm banking on and I'm praying that he finishes on the bottom half of that top 10 and that we can find some guys who help us build a balanced lineup and still score more points.
Well, and Adam, honestly, I think we've got a 19-person, Dr. Roto League that we play in, and it wouldn't shock me if 10 to 12 start their lineups with him this week, even with all those things in there. So I hear you. So if we're not doing that, I still can't play Rory. I can't do it. He's still not my guy. You might talk me out of it, but I think Xander is who I want to start with at 10-8, And that's, I think, where I'll plant my flag. He seems to be, slightly lower owned than Oberg or Cantlay is going to turn out to be. I think a lot of people will go with Oberg, I think that Rory always pulls his people. I think Xander will be highly owned. Don't get me wrong. I just think starting there for me makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. Obviously, I was high on Xander last week. He's extremely consistent.
It's called flop lag, Adam. When we get really high on a guy, he plays the next week really well.
Yeah, and I do like, you know, he played all four rounds. He wasn't ever truly in contention. Mm-hmm. You know, he was flirting around there at like the one under, two under, three under mark at most. So that doesn't quite take the same toll as the letdown that some of these guys had. Like Oberg, and I think he seems like a machine too. He seems like nothing bothers him. But I think the letdown of it's A, going to a course that he's never seen for Oberg. Not that hurt him at the Masters, but that was a much better course fit. And B, it's a little bit of the letdown emotionally from playing in your first major, contending in your first major, and now going to the next week and trying to do it again. Like he's just got to miss at some point. He's been so consistent. Maybe that's not the logical way to approach it, but that's what I'm banking on. So the first guy I'm looking at is Morikawa. Xander, he was a little erratic off the tee last week. And while this is more of a club down course, I'm not quite as high on him. So here's a crazy thing for you. I'm looking at my models, right? Win percentage. Mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy is the seventh on the list of highest win percentage, which is crazy for him. Not a great course fit. He's below Siwoo Kim.
So hey, if you look at the top, about my secrets this early in the show, sir.
It's not a secret. It's not a secret this week. but it's just crazy to me looking through that, like Siwoo, Tommy, Morikawa, all these guys are more probable to win. So I like starting my lineups up here at the 10K mark. I love Fleetwood this week as well. I think he's kind of like Matty Fitz was a few years ago. Or even Molinari, where they'd won a bunch of big events overseas, a lot of big European Tour events, but hadn't broken through in the States yet. Tommy's there. He really impressed me last week with his play at Augusta. And it was super cool that he had a caddy that was just a local Augusta caddy. And then he goes out and finishes T3, and that guy had the week of his life. Probably made, you know, his entire year's income in 1 week. Hey,
where was Tommy in my model last week?
Look, I already went over that, and I apologize for talking you off of hip and pricing. All right, you know, how much do you want me to capitulate here?
Quite a bit, to be honest. Yeah, Tommy was the number one percentage chance to 12x or more his salary in the model last week. Just for the record,
I thought we had turned the page and moved on.
We did, and then I flipped back the page because I'm still bitter about my 6 for 6 that finished at the bottom of our contest.
This feels like
I'm a bitter man, Adam. I'm bitter.
This feels like when I piss off my girlfriend and then I apologize and we make up and everything's fine. And then the next day I'm like, yep. Still seems a little off here. I think she's still holding on to that.
A little angry. Still a little angry. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Let's turn the page, buddy. I mean, right, me too. Right, me too. Right. I'm still hanging on to it, but I'm doing my best to turn the page. And
all right. Well, to be fair, Fleetwood in the model I'm looking at is still the number one leverage play in the 9K range.
I like that. I like that. So
range. And it actually doesn't like any of the other guys in the 9K range. Zero.
So I just like the flexibility that it gives you. If you put Morikawa and Fleetwood in the lineup, you can still comfortably throw in other guys we'll talk about in a few minutes down below. I just like the more balanced approach this week where you're not leveraging yourself and, all right, geez, I'm putting Scotty in my lineup. I really want to put whoever, Jordan Spieth, in there. Then you're down to like, I don't want to say dumpster diving, but you're bargain shopping for sure.
Sure.
Trying to find some guys that are less likely to make the cut and contend. So this is just where I like to start it. Fleetwood, Morikawa, ownership isn't crazy high. I think they're both going to contend. That's where I'm starting up top and then kind of working down from there into the 8K range.
I like it. Well, I already said I don't really like the rest of the 9K range. So we can just skip on down to 8 is okay with me.
Yeah, I mean,
some names in here that we've been high on this year a few times. Thigala, Lowry, Coco, Sam Burns, Siwoo Kim. I see Siwoo Kim and I see Russell Henley and I see their ownership projections, but I also see that Siwoo Kim has the number one value meter score of the week. Tell me why. You know I'm not getting off Siwoo. Nothing you can tell me. I play him every time he pops in my model. I play him. So he's going in.
And he should pop. He's a Pete Dye course specialist. He's extremely accurate off the tee. His approach game has been great this year. He hasn't played super well at this event. He has not finished inside the top 30, and he's played here the last 5 years. So that one's a little bit perplexing to me, but I do believe he's a better player than he was a few years ago. When he won at the Players at also a Pete Dye course, he was 21 years old. He's matured. I think his short game has improved, and I can't talk you off of him for any other reason than ownership. Like, if he's going to be rostered at 25% or more, because I think a lot of people are looking at it and skipping through that 8K range. Like, oh, yeah,
at the moment, which I'll check again through a few other sources when we're done. I mean, I still have, you know, Shane Lowry and Cam Young and a few names like that over him in ownership. So that is still okay with me. I'm not really bothered at a, you know, 16 to 17% ownership at 8K.
And I think we could certainly see that rise, but he's been extremely consistent. So Augusta, not a great course fit for him. He finished 30th, even though his approach game was uncharacteristically down. He's not usually a great putter. He's been better this year overall, but he gained in every category but putting at the Houston Open in his event before that. Players, also a Pete Dye course, finished T6, gained strokes across the board in every category, including putting. And Pete Dye greens tend to be similar. We're in the same region of the country, you know, kind of in the Southeast. So, yeah, I think he's a great play. Russell Henley really, really struggled last week. A lot of people were on him, but that was not a very good course fit. So I think he's not a great pivot play there, but there is one guy in the 8K range I think offers some pretty awesome leverage and some upside, despite the fact that he hasn't been playing very well. Who do you think that might be?
Tony?
No. I'm
actually
thinking JT.
I kind of looked at Tony.
I looked at Tony, but I'm actually thinking JT here.
All right.
I think JT's pissed off after totally ejecting. Like, his meltdown down the stretch last week, it was a sight to behold. I actually, in a sick way, I enjoyed watching it.
But, see, and that's what's strange, Adam, because I have had him in my lineups on almost every epic breakdown he's ever had. And I didn't have him this week. So I'm shocked that he kind of, you know, flew off the handle.
I guess you weren't the jinx. But thinking is, ownership obviously is one thing. He's right down there with Finau as the lowest in this range, along with Sam Burns, who's just playing terribly.
Yeah. Nope, you're can't hear you, buddy. Can't hear you. Your sound is gone. Oh no. Adam, look up your sound. Can't hear you. Oh, we lost Adam. We're gonna let him come back around. Anyway, so he's talking about Justin Thomas. Just from my model standpoint, I think he's okay. He's not who I'm looking at there. I like Siwoo Kim, of course, in the 9K range or the 8K range. The model also likes Henley in the 8K range. And the next strongest play in that range is Cameron Young, according to the value and leverage, Adam. But he might come up to almost 20% owned. I don't know about Cameron Young. We lost you. You said something about Justin Thomas, and you were telling me why you liked him, and then your sound went out.
Yeah, so I think with JT, he's going to be very determined to come out and show that was a fluke to get himself back on track. He just changed caddies. Yeah, I think he gives you a pretty good chance at a top five, top 10 at very low ownership. Similar reasons why you would like Cam Young, you would like JT. You know, his approach game is typically very good when he's on. He's got a good short game around the greens. He's not putting well, but if his putting flips for this week and he gets hot, I don't see any reason why he can't contend this week. So if you're looking for that leverage play, potential GPP winner, that's the guy I like in the 8K range alongside Siwoo, who's going to be very highly owned.
And I will be part of that ownership. I'll be there. You know I like to plant my flag on Minwoo and Siwoo. You know this.
Yeah, you can call it that. I call it stubbornness either way.
Stubbornness, yeah, that's fine. All right, let's get into this 7K range. There's a lot of meat here, my friend. I like a whole lot of the 7K range. I'm not going to lie. You know I love my value in my leverage meters, and they go crazy in this range. They love Harris English. It loves Bhatia. Sepp Straka rates in there. Matthew Pavon rates in there. Chris Kirk is up in the top 15 leverage play. Denny McCarthy's name appears again. We got all kinds of leverage and value just popping in this range.
Yeah, it's an exciting range to try to evaluate. You've got, honestly, there's a few guys in here where I look at it and sort of wonder why they are priced so low. We'll get to those guys at the bottom. But you got Benny on coming off a very good week last week at Augusta. That was one good call we had in the value plays last week. McCarthy, you know, hot week a couple weeks ago. Augusta wasn't a great fit for him, but he still made the cut, played okay. There's a lot of guys that are looking like super highly owned players. Personally, the first guy that I really looked at scrolling down was Chris Kirk from the top here, because at 7,700, despite Augusta being a terrible course fit for him last week, he played extremely well. His approach game has been on. I like him a lot, as well as JT. We can get back on the postman now. You asked me about him, I think, every week he's in the field, but
yeah,
back on the postman. He's not – the thing he normally doesn't do well is gain strokes off the tee, because he's not very long and he's not particularly accurate, even despite the fact that he is a shorter hitter. But his approach game is usually pretty decent. He's good around the greens. If he can get the putter hot, yeah, there's no reason why Poston cannot contend this week.
I like it. Well, the two players in the highest projected scoring also do well in my leverage scores is Bhatia and Harris English. Talk to me about those guys.
Yeah, Bhatia is the guy that you wouldn't look at him and say, oh, he's the right course fit here. Obviously, 1-2 weeks ago, played in his first Masters, and you know, I thought acquitted himself pretty nicely, made the cut. His putter has been better. Yeah, I actually like him a lot, especially if he's going to stay sub 10% ownership. At 7,700, you know, if we know where the guys are going, like it looks like Cam Davis is going to be popular. Brian Harman looks to be popular. Mathieu Pavon down here at 7K, we know he's probably going to be popular, at least double digits. So, yeah, when we know where these guys are going, there are nobody would be surprised if these players end up outscoring the higher owned players at the end of the week. So to me, I'm really leaning on ownership and basically saying, hey, if they're all pretty likely to similarly produce, why don't we just take the guys that are going to give us more leverage in the GPPs?
Certainly. Let's see. Who else do I like in here?
There's another guy in addition to the postman that we were on last year a lot. That is finally showing some signs he's turning the corner. He's had a very, very rough start to this year as far as the calendar year. But he had a great round last week on Sunday at Augusta, and that is Mr. Thomas Train Kim. I think he's ready to get back to his good form. He's shown that he can ride that good.
He won us a ton of money last year.
He did. He's been very down. Now, he was fighting some injury issues. You know, he's got the kind of skill set you would want to see here. And he looks like he's swinging the club a lot better, moving a little better. I think he's back to full health. And if you get a little confidence going here, his approach play can be very, very good with these small greens. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him contend. He's down there at 7,400. I think that switch flipped and he's going to be back to a guy we talk about most of the time.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, let's keep moving on down here. Let's get into this 6K range. We have no 5K range this week, so just the 6K range. So one of my favorite players I've seen some highlights of lately actually ranks as a bottom three in leverage and value, but I got to bring him up. Alejandro Tasti. Why is he scoring so low in my models? I love him. He's just so much fun to watch. I think they should add that into the model. Does danger enjoy watching him play golf? That should bump the model up. But it hates him. It hates him this week, Adam.
Well, the thing is, yeah, you enjoy watching him play golf. You saw him that one week where he contended. Yeah. But if you dig deeper into his week-to-week performance, that was a spike week that we look for. And you want players down here that provide some value that can have those spike weeks. However, the Houston Open, the golf course there, is completely different than what we're looking at here. And leading into that T2 finish, cut, 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 T75, all of a sudden T2, and then another cut.
Yep.
Also lost strokes.
He's just fiery. I just like to watch fiery players. You know this.
100%. And he gained strokes off the tee in that event that he popped, as well as approach, which was uncharacteristic for him. And he happened to putt well that week. So, yeah, we want guys that can spike. Maybe we can get back on him later in the year, but not a guy I'm looking at here, that's for sure.
Nah. Well, my number one value play of the week is right here in this spot. I'm not going to be alone. He's probably going to be the highest owned in the 6K range. I don't really care. I like Lucas Glover this week.
Why is he 6,800?
I don't know. And even at 11% owned, he's not overly owned where, you know, we can't take some ownership value above him and just play him. Even
well, that's, yeah. So if you're building your lineup and you don't go Scotty and you start it with, say, Morikawa and or Fleetwood, the guys that are going to be 50% owned, and then you throw a little leverage in there, a little low owned guy like JT in the 8K range, mm-hmm. pair him with a couple of these guys in the 7K that are a little lower owned, then you can swallow that 6,800, 11% ownership. But last week, he lost strokes around the greens and still finished top 20. His approach play was fantastic. And that's really the flighting it low, which was fine in the wind, but it baked out over the weekend. That's why I wasn't on him at the Masters, which I guess was a mistake. But he putted well. So if his putting is back at this golf course where his approach game can shine, and he normally is pretty decent around the greens, I don't know. I don't know why he's 6,800 bucks. It's one of those that it's almost like in, you compare Christian McCaffrey to Scheffler a lot. It's like in DK DK when you're like, well, the starting running back's out and there's a clear cut number two is going to be the bell cow. Just take it and use the free square. Like there is no free square in golf, but Glover at his price is pretty close to that. He was born in South Carolina. He went to Clemson. He's been playing good golf. His putting is back. Why? I don't know why he's priced so low.
Fair enough. So the next three guys in the leverage score are all the same. And I've got Adam Hadwin, Andrew Putnam, and Austin Eckroat, who we have rode to some winning lineups. What do you think of those three guys this week?
I don't mind any of them. Hadwin's a guy that I was taking a peek at. I didn't write him up in my article, but I considered it. I think he's got a very good chance to contend this week. A lot like a couple of the guys we've talked about, not particularly good off the tee relative to the field. And he can get very, very hot with the putter. You know, if he puts together a decent approach week, I don't think there's going to be a problem with him hitting fairways. If he puts together a decent approach week, gives himself some opportunities, you know, his putting can truly, you know, rise him up to the top 10 of the field. If he just has a slightly above average, approach week and a hot putting week. So I think it sets up very well for him. Eckroat, excuse me, I'm not on as much. Putnam, not a guy I'm really ever excited to play, but he always pops, and I kind of look at it like, man, it's just one of those guys I never click. But his approach play has flashed. You know, he's gained in three of his last four events, he's gained over a stroke per round on approach. So that is something that has me a little more interested in him. His around the green game has been solid. So, yeah, Putnam's a guy that I would come around to. I think I might finally actually put him in a lineup this week, which may have happened once or twice in history, and I've played a lot of freaking lineups over the years. But yeah, I can come around to him. There's one more guy down towards the bottom of this range that I like. It's definitely not Alejandro Tosi. But I actually don't mind going back to Lee Hodges here. And by back, I mean we talked about him last week as a value at the Masters. He really didn't come through there. Had a really rough week on the greens, understandably so. But he usually plays well in this part of the country. So had a pretty good Florida swing with a T12 at the API, T35 at the Players, also a Pete Dye course. He's missed a couple cuts in a row. But I think having that extra time after missing the cut at the Masters is going to give him a chance to prepare. I think he's a pretty darn likely cut maker for you there at 6,300.
I like it. All right, so there's one guy who's the number two projected scoring player in the 6K range. We didn't talk about at 6,900, Kurt Kitayama. And earlier in the show, you brought up a man named Kevin Kisner. He is the absolute worst value, worst leverage, and the lowest projected scoring player by 10 points on the week. Why do they hate Kiz so much?
Kiz is he's a broadcaster now, man. He's out there clowning with Smiley Kaufman, joking around about the players, hitting shots in the 16 at the Wasted Management. He's not a full-time serious golfer anymore. I love Kiz. I love his personality. I like the fact that he can be as honest as he was in that press conference talking about how he had to pay a lot of money for 17th as well.
Yep.
But I understand why they're hating him. Kitayama is a guy that has, you know, decent upside most weeks, but he tends to drive it really well on the weeks that he contends. And because they're taking that weapon out of his hands, you know, if you look at his week to week, he gained almost a stroke per round on the field last week. Same thing at the Houston Open, same thing at the Players. It is by far his most consistent weapon and strength relative to most fields. And they're sort of taking that out of his hands, much like Rory McIlroy at the top. That's why he doesn't pop very much this week at all, because when that is taken away, when you're hitting your approach shots from the same distance as everybody else, your biggest asset is taken out of your hands, and it's not as much of a benefit to him as it would be most weeks. So because of that, I am not on Mr. KK. I hope his middle name doesn't start with a K. I really do.
All right. What do you got for any bets you like this week? Hit me with a couple.
I haven't dug super deep into the bets this week. Let's go through our picks in each range, and I will pop into
the All sports. Right. Perfect. All right. Well, as mentioned with, the ownership that's going to be on Scotty, the terror that he could withdraw to go see his child born, I got to fade him. And I'm going to play the flop leg. I'm going to go right back to Xander. He was my pick last week. I'm going to go right back at him this week, because that's what happens. You get a king, queen in your hand. You push, you know, a little heavy pre-flop, and it completely misses the board. And then the next hand, the flop goes king, queen, queen. That's what's happening with Xander this week. It's Xander's week.
Okay. I can see Xander putting that plaid jacket on. I could definitely see it. I'm not going to hate on you there. My guy with his approach game coming back, he actually, for the first time in like 5 years, Morikawa switched drivers from his original sim to the new QI10. But Morikawa hit a lot of fairways last week. That's what we got to do this week. He might actually be able to use his driver more than most guys because he doesn't have to club down. He's not as long. And that's a strength for him. So approach game is back. Short game is always good. Went back to his old putter. Started button well. Going with Morikawa there right at 10K even.
I like it. Well, you already know where I'm going in the mid-range. It's Siwoo Kim. My flag is planted. I don't care about ownership. I will find my leverage in the other guys outside of Xander, Kim, and Glover.
Siwoo! I'm going to go with the leverage play here that I mentioned. The more I think about it, the more I like it. It could definitely burn me, but I'm going with the upside this week, especially since in our league I am chasing, which is a place I like to be. Got to make some birdies. Justin Thomas.
I already wrote it down before you even said a word. I already had it there. I knew where you were going.
I've been
You know, for value play, I've already said it, man. I feel really chalky this week going Xander, Siwoo, and Glover, but I'm going to do it, and I will find my ownership pivots outside of those three.
Ooh. Chalk daddy.
This week. And that's usually the game I don't play, so we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, I think Siwoo could definitely kind of crap his pants here and make us all look silly, but I don't know. So my value, we didn't
he's
actually.
Not, he's not sponsored about. By Puma, is he?
He's not. Nobody said that.
He's not wearing his Puma pants.
His Puma pants?
Puma pants. You said
Puma pants.
You led me into that. You led me into that, Adam.
I did it. I don't know how I missed it. I was distracting myself.
We're 12 years old today. Don't mind us.
That's every day for me. But I'm gonna go with the Postman brother, JT Poston. He's got a couple good finishes here. Actually, three of the last 5 years, he's finished top 10. He's been very boom or bust. Either the missed cut out of the top 70, or he's finishing in the top 10. So I'm banking on it being the latter of those two. Mr. JT Poston is going to light it up this week.
All right, you're going double JTs.
I'm going double JTs, man. I'm doing like the danger. I'm going all JT lineup if I can do it.
I like it.
I might go to, I think we could go two Kims this week too. I go two JT. I would go pairs. Two JTs, two Kims. I got to find my third pair, but I like it. I like where this is.
No, I dig it a lot. All right, did you find any bets while we were looking through that? Because I got to get out of here, sir. We've run late.
Me too. We did. I talked a lot. No.
Nah.
Adam Shank, 80 to 1. There you go.
Adam Shank, I like it.
16 to 1, top five.
Absolutely love it. All right, for Adam's complete breakdown and his favorite picks for the week, make sure you're heading over to drroto.com, become a subscriber, and see his articles every single week. And, you know, it goes a lot faster than the way that we ramble here. So it's it would do you well to go read that article. And, of course, everything else we're doing. We've got hockey playoffs coming up. We've got NBA still working. We've got, you know, us. Golf, we're here, and obviously the draft coming up next week. There's going to be a lot of coverage on that in the NFL draft right here in Detroit, my friend. I wish I could go, but I can't. But anyways, this is Danger and Adam White in the Cup from DrRoto.com, and we will catch you maybe next week. Yeah, possibly. We might take a week off, but you know.
Thanks for stopping by the office. Get your fantasy prescription by subscribing to the channel and checking out DrRoto.com. And until the next visit, be well and take care.